Welcome, foolish mortals. I am your host, your ghost host. When hinges creak in doorless chambers, and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight, which offers you this chilling challenge to find a way out.
Hey there, all you witches and warlocks, and welcome to a very, very special episode of the Hexcast, the only podcast dedicated to Jim Balin's Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose. Why is this podcast episode so special? Well, this is our Halloween special. No, but seriously, since Samhain is a major holiday in the Wiccan culture, which, again, Jim Balin's Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose is a, you know, major force of, you know, talking about Wiccan culture itself, we thought it'd be very appropriate to have a special talking about Halloween. We're also going to have a special to talk about Christmas, and that's for another reason, but we won't get into that. Before I go on, of course, let me introduce myself. I am your primetime host, your ranger of the Twilight Forest, Thomas Primetime Mattis, and I, of course, joined by my SoCal Wiccan friend, Lori Thomas. Lori, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Long intro this time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's our Hexcastic Halloween special. I couldn't resist that.
And 60 people just left the podcast.
Yeah, no, today we're going to talk about Halloween. We're going to cover the basis of Halloween history, Samhain, Halloween traditions, both what's been recorded and what people do, and maybe, you know, and a few of my own and some of Thomas's. Halloween foods, I got a couple recipes for you guys. Halloween music, movies, TV, and I have a special rant for both Twilight and True Blood. More so Twilight than True Blood, but you guys will hear me talk about it. But this is going to celebrate everything that is Halloween. And let me just go on record by saying this is my favorite holiday besides St. Patrick's Day.
Well, we all know why you like St. Patrick's Day. There's no way to top that.
Actually, it's not the beer. Oh, I'm not Irish in any way, shape, or form, but I love going to the parades. I love making the corned beef and the potatoes and the carrots and the cabbage and dressing up in green. It's just a fun day for me.
Well, I think you can call any day where you wake up with no memory of the night before and a fat woman on your left side a good day.
Oh, jeez. No, it's for me.
I get it.
I just love the celebration of the party. But the thing that I really want to emphasize on this podcast today is that no matter what you do on Halloween, please remember to be safe. Make sure your children are safe, and just have a blast, because Halloween is one of the most fun holidays that we have.
Yeah, really do. Keep them safe, because, you know, anything's better than when we were growing up. You know, Mom just threw a sheet over you. Hey, just go trick-or-treating down that, you know, down the street that has no street lights, and don't mind, you know, and don't be scared to go to that those three houses that hold the, you know, child perverts.
Well, see, I was even worse than that because I was raised by my grandparents, and I never got to go trick-or-treating. I was the poor kid that got to stay at home in their costume and hand out candy. I never, the most I went, I got to go across the street to our two neighbors and back to the house. That was it. I never, ever went trick-or-treating.
See, now you got to bring it down.
Oh, Jesus!
See, I had this whole story about my mother baking our costumes and these, you know, my whole Godzilla costume year. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a horrible story. And then you just have to say that and bring it down. I'm like, now I'm going to look like an
No, my parents were very, very, very religious. And they just really weren't keen on Halloween that much. So, I mean, I would get my costume. You know, a few years my grandmother made my costume. But they just never were big on, you know, going out and trick-or-treating. They were more of, okay, you get to stay here and hand out candy, and you can watch your movies on TV or whatever, but I know I missed a lot, and I feel really bad, but I also, at the same time, I think I got a better experience because I was able to stay at home and see all those cool movies and just develop the love for the holiday. So when I became an adult, I go nuts. I mean, I've got pumpkins everywhere. I've got black cats. I've got ghosts. I decorate the place like crazy.
Well, good. Now I don't have to feel guilty about blushing about all the different candies. but maybe we should start off with the history of both Halloween and Samhain. And I will hand it over to Lori.
Okay. I am actually going to start with Samhain first. Samhain is a Gaelic festival that's usually held October 31st, November 1st, and it's Irish, and it roughly means summer's end. It is a harvest festival, and it is linked to other festivals in Celtic cultures. Basically, what it is the marking of the harvest season. You're bringing an end to the light and the beginning of the darkness. Now, for those of you familiar with Mexico's Day of the Dead, Day of the Dead actually has more meaning to people because that's the day that it says that the wall between the two worlds, the regular world and the spirit world, is at its thinnest and that you can commune with spirits of your past relatives. And for the most part, it's a celebration. Now, I love Rick Bayless. Rick Bayless is this amazing American chef who specialized in Mexican food and culture. And if you go to his website, he's got these awesome sugar skulls that they have, that they usually sell during Day of the Dead, Halloween. And what he has done, he has made it in such a way that it's accessible to everyone else. Samhain is basically a farming or a end of season type of a festival. Now, if you're Wiccan, it's a little bit more in depth. If you're Wiccan, it is basically your Christmas. It is the day that you celebrate all things dedicate to Mother Nature, and it is a dedication of time of harvest, time of renewal, celebrating those who have passed. Now, the only thing that I want to add with this is that Samhain in the Wiccan culture can be celebrated either as a group or individually. Usually there is a ritual involved. Usually you basically get candles together, you light them, and you basically remember the dead and you celebrate the end of summer. It's not the weird people who are sky clad running around, you know, with ginger in one hand and raw salt in the other. It's a celebration of life. Now, Halloween. Oh, I love Halloween. Halloween is usually observed on October 31st. And it is a holiday that is celebrated with including the following acts: trick-or-treating, wearing costumes, carving jack-o'-lanterns, ghost tours, bonfires, apple bobbing, which I do have a rant about. Haunted houses. And watching horror films. Now, Halloween. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, I think really the best one we can say is that really Halloween is a commercial conception of all different all these different holidays, from All Souls Day to Samhain to the Day of the Dead. And I think, did I say it right? Day of the Dead?
Yes, Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
And it's basically what it was originally called in Old English was All Hallows Day. And it was the period of waiting that you had up until All Saints Day or Day of the Dead. And like you said, it's evolved into this huge commercialization of anything orange and black. And it is usually...
It's the second biggest holiday in the United States outside of Christmas.
And possibly Easter.
Yeah.
But basically, if you look at the real meaning of Halloween, it's very much like Samhain. It's the end of the harvest season and it's the beginning of winter.
Yeah, and I mean, and the funny thing is, you know, this year I started thinking about sort of the strange coincidence that, you know, really you have a lot of these harvest holidays, but again, I'm Jewish, and so I have Sukkot, and Sukkot is a harvest holiday that's supposed to pray for rain, and that's because, again, it started in the desert, so...
Mm-hmm.
So the renewal of... I guess it is the same in the sense of the renewal of harvest. So, all these different harvest holidays come around the same time. And for those who don't know what Sukkot is, again, like I said, it's a Jewish holiday. The pray for the new harvest and for the rains to come. And usually what we do is we build a sukkah, which is a house, a small, like, wooden little house where we hang stuff and everything. It's very cool. In fact, I had the honor of helping build my temple sukkah this year. So,
oh, very cool. So, Halloween tradition. Now, Halloween tradition usually dictates that if you have children, the first thing you have to torture them with is taking them to the store, usually Kmart.
Wait, torture them with? Don't you mean them torturing you?
I've been Halloween costume shopping with my friends who have children. It's torture all the way around. First the negotiations start. Mommy, I want to be Iron Man. Mom looks at Iron Man costume, looks at the price. I can make you that. No, I want to be Iron Man. So they go back and forth. I want to be Batman.
If you can't see me.
I actually saw a commercial where a mother was making her son an Iron Man costume, and they were like, no. The Iron Man costume, a good one, is only $20 at Walmart. Go get it.
I'm laughing because you know what the sad part is? I've had that exact same argument with my mother. I want to be this. Oh, I can make you that, but it won't be as good. Y'all, it'll be just as good. You know what? Okay, now I have to say
it. It's like you want to go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, but your mom says, oh, I'll make you a hamburger instead.
Yeah. I got to say about my Godzilla year. I was in sixth grade, and I wanted to be Godzilla. More appropriately, about a month before, there was this costume shop in our town. And in the costume shop, there was this very, very awesome Godzilla costume. And me being the Godzilla fan, I was like, ooh, I want to be Godzilla! Of course, the costume was like $100. So my mom was like, I can make that! Yeah, people thought I was a lizard.
Oh. I can beat that. I'm from Illinois, and part of my family is Amish. And my grandmother, for the bicentennial, made some costumes for us to wear to our church festivities that year. And a few years later, I think I was about 10 at the time. This was 1982. And I wanted to be Laura Ingalls Wilder for Halloween. My grandmother dug out the handmade skirt, petticoat, and bonnet, cut it down, and that was my costume. It was just bad.
The thing is, for my Godzilla costume is, we had to wear your costume to school day.
Mm.
This is middle school, mind you. So yeah, every kid decided, hey, let's jump on his tail.
Oh.
I was late to every class.
Oh. Not good. Now, besides
that thing fell off before Halloween even got started.
I can imagine. I can imagine. My bonnet didn't make it very far either. So usually the tradition for Halloween in America is that children get costumes. They wear them on Halloween and at school, and usually it's something that is popular or something traditional, either a ghost or a witch. Frankenstein is a big one, Batman, Robin, Superman.
I was Batman for 6 years.
I was Batgirl for 2 years. And usually what it involves is that children also go out and they do this wonderful thing where you get to beg for candy once a year. It's called trick-or-treating.
Beg for candy.
Well, that's what it is. You're begging for candy. Come on. What other holiday is so cool that you can literally walk up to a stranger's door, knock on the door, and say, give me candy, and if you don't, I'm going to egg your house. And they're scared that you're going to do it. It's a great tradition. I love
it. Yes,
that.
It is. Oh, I agree with you. It is awesome.
I mean, it is so cool. Now, the trick part is that if you do not give them their treat, which is candy, then they can play a trick on you.
It's literally blackmail.
Or blackmail. And usually what it is, back in the day, the kids would prank by ringing your doorbell and running away. Or if you're more ambitious and if you're a teenager and you should be trick-or-treating anyway, egging the house, excuse me for being graphic, TPing your house or trees. And my personal favorite is that you'd carry a little thing of water with you and some toilet paper. You'd wet it, scrunch it up till it gets nice and hard, and you would throw it against the house, and it would stick. Remember like when we were in school and the girls' and boys' bathrooms, and we would take the paper towels, wad them up, and throw them, and they would stick to the ceiling?
I can't say I was that ambitious in high school.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know. I've seen the teen movies. No, but you didn't count, like, the best treat of all, the flaming turd.
Oh, I never did that one. No. No, yes, there is the flaming turd thing. The eggs, I think, are actually worse. You can get rotten eggs or, you know, get eggs so they go bad, and you could carry them around, and you could throw them at the houses or the cars. We're sounding like we're encouraging vandalism right here. But that basically is trick-or-treating. The other part of Halloween is one of my favorite parts is you get a pumpkin and you can carve a jack-o'-lantern. A jack-o'-lantern is a pumpkin that is carved into either a happy face or a scary face and is encouraged to have it on your doorstep to scare away the ghosts or the spirits.
And, of course, there's also many other traditions. There's, you know, the haunted house, you know.
Oh, the haunted house. Did your synagogue have a haunted house?
Well, actually, we supposedly don't celebrate Halloween because it's a Christian holiday.
Okay. Well, no, I'm only asking because I know that even though certain religions say if they don't, they do.
Yeah.
And my church, who was very, very against Halloween, they actually had a haunted house every year for the kids, which I always thought was weird. And the haunted house was from the pastor's office through the banquet hall, down through the classrooms, and out the back door, which was a very long hallway. Oh, my goodness. I think I got a couple of gray hairs a few years. Walking through a haunted house is never good, okay? You go in, and it's dark, and spooky, and you're okay. And then people you've known for years come out, and they grab your ankles, or they touch your arm.
Or they go boo.
My poor choir director, 1 year, I think I was 11. By the time I got through that haunted house, they brought me back to my grandparents. He showed me his arm. I had given him the biggest bruise, because I apparently kicked him right square in the elbow.
But you know, the thing is though, also with haunted, and we're, you know, I'm also good after we talk about this, we're gonna backtrack a little bit to, you know, pumpkins and the costumes, because there's still some more I want to talk about with those.
Oh sure.
But with haunted houses, you know, haunted houses now have become a big thing to do on Halloween as far as businesses that are professional haunted houses.
Oh, you know, yes.
There's the, you know, the, and we're not just talking about, you know, what they do at Halloween Horror Nights in at Universal Studios. We're talking about, you know, pretty much if you search your city around Halloween, it's like they operate for 1 month a year, but they plan for the entire year, and they're, you can usually find a haunted house. Like, for instance, if you watch the Travel Channel right now, they'll have several television shows where they're just doing nothing but showing haunted houses around the country. Like the Norman Bates Haunted Hayride in Pennsylvania. Which
that's another one. Yes, the Haunted Hayrides. Yes.
Oh,
and you know what? They bring in a lot of money, but you know what the best one is? And I would never do it because I'm a scaredy cat. If you have a town that has murder mystery weekends, they do a haunted murder mystery, and it usually revolves around the Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
Talk about freaking people out.
Well, you know, I remember one year, once this city I'm in, did that, you know, their part, before it got turned into, they had a part of their Central Park. There was part of their park that was just woods, mm-hmm. and that's where they would hold, like, the medieval festival. And it's not there anymore because they've torn that whole area down, and that's where they put the public library. But on Halloween, what they would do is they would use that same area, and it was basically haunted stories. And you would walk along the paths within the woods, and they'd have these scenes set up, and they would have these people, and they would sit there and tell these scary stories. And one was a pirate, and one was some other, you know, medieval person. It was very cool. And then when you got to the end, they gave you a big bag of candy.
Wow. That is very, very cool. I have one experience. Now, where I live, we have got the Sarah Winchester House. Winchester Guns. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Quick history. Sarah Winchester, how can I put this in a nice way? Excuse my language. Batshit crazy.
You think?
By the end of her life, she, after her husband died and she was by herself, she became very enamored with mediums and spiritual advisors. And she was told that if she would continually build onto her mansion, then she would never die. So it's about 2 miles from me. The Winchester Mystery Mansion is actually the proper name of it. There are rooms that lead to air. There are closets that lead to bedrooms, and bedrooms that lead to a brick wall. She built so many rooms in this house. I mean, it is insane. And at night, it's 2 weeks before Halloween, Halloween night, they turn out all the lights in the mansion. They give you these flashlights, and they give a haunted tour of the Winchester Mansion. I'm too chicken to go. My friends went, and she was still freaked out 4 days after going.
Well, it is supposedly haunted, though.
Yes, it is supposedly haunted with her ghost. But, even in daylight, this thing looks wicked scary.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, I went to Hollow Screen in Busch Gardens, Tampa. And it's pretty interesting. I remember, two ones I remember are the first and the last haunted houses that I went into. The first one, which apparently the theme was in the middle of nowhere biker bar type of thing, and you're running from a biker gang. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this is, I've been watching the Travel Channel and their whole thing on haunted houses, so, like, I knew every trick of the trade. Mm-hmm. So I knew where everything is. The one thing that I could not keep from scaring me was the chainsaw.
Oh.
So this guy comes up with this chainsaw. I hit the ground. I mean, face first hit the ground. And I start army crawling to the exit.
Oh. See, that's just wrong. My job every year, this is crazy. They have a one of the engineering departments for about 10 years now have gotten permission to put on a company haunted house on Halloween. When I say that they do no work, they get the entire week to prep. They take two conference rooms that are linked together, and each year they have a theme. Last year's theme was the haunted hospital. They had zombies. They had ghosts. They gave you this little fake needle with, like, it had, like, green goo in it. It was candy. And you go in, and if you can make it out without screaming, then you get, like, a prize. When I say that this haunted house is just absolutely the scariest thing in the world, and to top it off, the company sponsors it. And they get to spend all day on Halloween scaring the crap out of all the employees.
But, and like I said, the last haunted house that I went there, originally because what I did, which is, and it was basically, anybody who's been to Busch Gardens Tampa Bay, there's what used to be the tram station, because they used to have the sky buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at one of the former sky bucket stations, they had this haunted house. Well, I went in behind this group of three girls. And so my whole plan on going through this haunted house was to stay right behind the girls, and whenever we went into a new room, just let them go in first and get the scare.
Oh, jeez.
So I basically, and I was telling this story on another podcast last night, I was basically using the girls as meat shields. But the funniest thing is, the thing that scared them the most, that made them scream bloody murder, was the most... It was the silliest and stupidest scare of all. Basically, there was this small square room. Nobody was inside. It basically had streamers hanging down from the ceiling that basically went down to the floor, and you had to go through it. It had a strobe light in the room. They went into this room. They felt the streamers on them. Oh, my God. I could not hear for the next 5 minutes.
Oh, see, that's bad. Well, me, I refuse to go into the company haunted house because I know better. My best friend, who was a zombie nurse, got me at the end of the day. I got a call. I wouldn't even go near the building. I got a call to go take some papers up to HR. All right, I'm walking into HR, perfectly content, got my iPod on, perfectly happy. I turn the corner, and there she is with a rope around her neck. It looks like she's 10, like 2 feet off the ground, and her tongue is sticking out, and blood is coming down. I scream so loud, I think I scared the dead. And they set it up on purpose just to get me.
Friends like that, you don't need any enemies.
Oh, you got that right. Well, can we just briefly talk about a couple other different things about Halloween traditions?
Oh, sure.
One of my favorite things to do, even though I was horrible at it, apple bobbing.
I actually never got to do apple bobbing.
Basically what it is, it's a pan of water or a bucket. They put apples in it, and you gotta basically try and get one. I had braces for the majority of my childhood teenage years.
I know where this is going now.
You know how hard it is to get apple bits out of braces?
Yep.
And you know how hard it is
to get braces too.
Off of your braces when it gets stuck?
I had the braces too.
I was horrible at it, but one year I was determined that I was going to get in, get out, get my apple, and go. So I'm thinking, okay, I got a strategy. I'm watching people and, you know, different techniques. I decided to go in sideways. My head got stuck in the bucket. They had to pull me out.
911, what's your emergency? My friend got stuck bobbing for apples.
Oh, it was...
Sir, your 911 is not for prank calls.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, well, Halloween, I think they kind of, you know, might take it seriously, but I got stuck. Luckily, they were able to get me out, like, really quickly, but we got fancy toward the end. We threw in lemons, oranges, and apples, and it is the most fun that you'll ever have, because just watching people, it's very simple. Get an apple with your mouth. Is it easy to do? Heck no.
And like I said, I want to go back to costumes a bit. Can you remember every costume that you wore?
I can give it a good run. let's see. From 0 to 4, grandmother had me as a witch, very easy. 5 through 8, I was a princess. 8 to 10, I was an angel, I think. And then the bicentennial costume, where I was a Laura Ingalls Wilder when I was 10. 11 through 12, Batgirl. 12 through 14, because that's when I stopped, I dressed up as a gypsy.
For me, 0 till, I think it was 5, 1990, I was a Ninja Turtle. I would say 6 through a good number of years, I was Batman. And it wasn't just that I was Batman. I was recycling the same goddamn costume over and over and over again. 6th grade, I was supposed to be Godzilla. I say supposed to because, like I said, I was more of a lizard. And then after that, I think I went back to Batman for 2 years, and by the time I was halfway through, it was, I mean, the last 2 years, I was basically saying, what's my costume? What's that thing that, you know, that guys on Drifter! Yeah, I'm a Drifter! Which is the most awesome costume, because you really don't need to do anything. All you need is just some ruffled up jeans and a plaid shirt. You're a Drifter!
Oh, jeez. Well, I think 1 year I did have a costume. I think I was about 17, and some little kid asked me what I was when I opened the door, and I said a teenager. The parent wasn't thrilled. No, but the costumes that they have for these kids these days, oh, I wish they had it, because back when I was a kid, we got the nice, lovely plastic mask, which would cut you with the plastic in the back.
I mean,
and
yeah.
And these masks were horribly made.
Like, if I had a job, I would be dressing up for Halloween, and I would be building a haunted house out of my garage. I'm just saying it right now.
I don't know if I'm going to dress up in it or not. Have you ever heard of the play Wicked?
Yes, yes.
The main character, Elphaba?
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it. I know it's supposed to be based off The Wizard of Oz, or at least...
It's based off of The Wizard of Oz, and it's a book... it was based off of a book, it's a series of books, actually, and the main character is the Wicked Witch. Well, about 3 years ago, Halloween Spirit, which is the big mega chain store across the country that sets up shop every fall, had a fairly pricey Elphaba costume. I'm talking cloth, buttons, the whole thing. A fully made costume. I actually got one on clearance the day after Halloween. Full bustle, full petticoat, and I got a hat to go with it, and I bought a whole bunch of green paint, so whenever I dress up for Halloween, the last couple of years, I've been the Wicked Witch. this year, I don't know. One of my friends dressed up as Chucky, which was kind of interesting, but I don't know what I'm going to do this year, but I am jealous because I don't have any kids, but I wish I had a 10-year-old boy right now, because the Iron Man costume that they have for little boys totally rocks. This thing is awesome. The mask actually opens up and closes. I mean,
that
it's
does sound awesome.
It's got the little muscle pads. It's got the arc reactor in it. It's the little light that lights up. I mean, this thing is detailed. Oh, I wish I had a 10-year-old. I have a 9-month-old nephew, and he's going to be going as a pea. Well, you know, it fits because he's a chunky little guy, right? And he's just got the right amount of baby fat. And when his mom sent me the picture of him with the little sweet pea costume, it's the cutest thing in the world. But the Incredible Hulk costume has padded muscles on it. If you have a teenager, God help you, because they've got all the Twilight costumes out.
Dear God.
I'm sorry. Continue.
I was going to say, that would be a perfect time to go out and buy a paint gun. Because that would be a great trick to do one. Just sit up there and wait for the Twilight. Up, Twilight costume. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm not mentioning I have a BB gun, but anyway. but no, they had for Halloween, and this is funny, if you watch Jersey Shore, you can be Snooki or the Situation.
Dear God.
They have, now this one's actually kind of cool. They've got Lady Gaga costumes. Now, I am a fan of her music. I think that her costumes are just so outrageous that they're just unbelievable. But they do have certain costumes that she's worn, scaled down for kids to wear. And I think that's kind of interesting because they're very, very different. They have a decent Wolverine costume that I've seen. Now, here's one that's actually kind of cute if you like it. If you watch True Blood, on the HBO website, you can order a Merlot's t-shirt and the apron, so you can go Snooki.
If I watch that show, I might be excited about who that was.
You haven't watched it?
No. Well, right now, I don't have HBO, so...
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to watch it, my DVDs are with a friend of mine, but if you want to watch it, I'll send you the DVDs. Because I've got the first two seasons.
I think I'll pass.
Okay, I just offered. Now, here's one that my friend... Now, what a lot of people don't know is that I am a rabid Sons of Anarchy fan. Oh, please. I am so into Sons of Anarchy. I actually saw a knockoff of a Sons of Anarchy biker cut. So a couple of kids are going as Sam Crow members. The one that I thought was really cool, there's a War Machine costume that they have. There is, of course, True Blood costumes. And the one that really was interesting, there's a lot of manga and anime costumes that I've seen in the stores.
Oh, nice.
Well, there's Sailor Moon, of course.
Naruto.
Yeah, was it Kingdom of Hearts?
Ooh, Kingdom Hearts. Oh, there's some Kingdom Hearts costumes? Oh, that's yeah. Well, that's Disney.
Okay.
That may explain that, but yeah, oh, that would be very interesting. I'd be very interested to see Kingdom Hearts, especially they just released a new game on the PSP.
Right. I saw that, and then here's one that I thought was interesting. They have, and these are very well made, there is a series of Alice in Wonderland. Alice, you know, the new movie that came out this year? The costumes that they have for the Red Queen and for Alice and for the Johnny Depp character, those are excellent. Those are made so well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just cool. But see, here's the thing. The sad part is for adult costumes, they fall into two categories. Either it's something kitschy and funny like the Flintstones or the bad trend of the sexy costumes. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you that the trampy pirate girl or the trampy witch, I mean, these costumes they shouldn't be worn in public, okay? they're that bad.
Well, I don't mind them. It's just that there's really not an... I wouldn't mind them, I don't mind them obviously being a guy, but, I mean, I do understand the problem and I agree with it. I just think really what the problem is that there's no... equal to for the adults, and the same thing goes for men. I mean, really, is there an adult Iron Man costume with light up lights and stuff like that? No.
If they do have one, it's a very badly made copy of the costume.
Yeah,
and you're right. There really isn't.
Really, costumes are for kids. I mean, could go into this really how it's really more of a sort of that Judeo-Christianic our culture, you know, our culture and our. You know, just like how we say cartoons are only for kids. You know, dressing up is only for kids on Halloween.
And see, if you're an adult, now, at my job, like I said, Halloween's pretty big. Now, I have worn costumes to work as an adult, and my best one is I went as a Starbucks employee. we were in Jamestown a few years ago, and I picked up a Starbucks apron, and I wore a white shirt, tan pants, I made myself a name tag, and I wore the Starbucks apron, and I carried it around a Starbucks cup all day.
And you charged your boss $15 for a cup of coffee.
My boss took one look at me and just started cracking up. I kid you not. I made the mistake of going to the grocery store that has Starbucks in it that day. I had four people come up to me asking me for coffee because they thought I actually worked at Starbucks. Now, as far as men are concerned, my husband has a tried-and-true costume that he wears every single year, and it works. My husband delivers packages at work. He's the mailman, quote-unquote, at work. A few years ago, he's a Star Trek fanatic. He got a yellow shirt, you know, the Star Trek with the whole thing. He has a communicator replica. He's got the little tricorder, and he's got the pips on the side. He pairs that with black pants and some shiny black shoes. That's his costume every single year.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yes, it's Next Generation, in case people were wondering, but that's what he does. The only other costume that I really managed to really pull off is 2 years ago. I got completely fed up with the whole idea of a costume, and I went to work as a disgruntled employee. Half of my clothes were normal, the other half were ripped to shreds with bloodstains. I carried a plastic water gun around with me.
But let's move on to probably the final thing, the tradition, as we've, so far we're 40 minutes in, and we started really discussing things around the 5-minute mark, and so we've pretty much been talking for 35 minutes about tradition.
Okay, well, you can wrap up the tradition part.
Well, I wanted to move on to jack-o'-lanterns, because we only briefly touched about it. I mean, what were your favorite parts about making jack-o'-lanterns?
Honestly, scooping out the damn seeds. I hated that part, and I loved it at the same time because that meant that I was going to get my jack-o'-lantern done. I'm not the best artist, and I can barely cut out the eyes and the mouth and nose. The new laser-cut decals that you can get these days, those are okay, but I have a lot of friends who are artists, and one of my friends, she did a Dark Knight Batman.
Nice.
And my other friend, they're just now rolling out right now the pictures and stuff, but one of my friends is doing all the Legion of Superheroes logos on a series of pumpkins. And my favorite one is that my friend, who's a graphic designer, has a series of pumpkins all based on the Transformers, and he did an Autobot jack-o'-lantern.
Nice. My favorite part was also scooping out the seeds, but for a different reason, because I actually very much loved eating roasted pumpkin seeds.
My grandmother never would dry them out and do that. So whenever we would scoop them out, they went right in the garbage.
So you never had roasted pumpkin seeds?
I've had them, I've bought them in the store, but not fresh ones, no. I admit I'm a very, 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 very bad sister. I'm 13 years older than my brother.
Okay.
So picture him being 4 years old, minding his own business. I scoop up a handful of the ooey-gooey mess and put it down the back of his shirt.
Sad part is my sister did that to me, too. And she's 2 years younger than me. So thank you for bringing bad memories back.
I'm sorry. All I have to say is that I got grounded, even though, what was I, 17, 18? I got grounded so bad because I freaked that poor kid out. He fainted. Here is a little four-year-old on the floor.
Is there a video of that?
No, there's no video, but I wish I had it because to this day, he will not go near a jack-o'-lantern because of that.
Oh, that poor child.
I know, I'm a bad sister. I couldn't help
that
myself.
Poor child.
I couldn't help myself. No, but I will say that the best carving that I've seen has been at the mall because they do have pumpkin contests. Jack-o'-lanterns are very cool. Now, for me, since I don't really carve pumpkins, I do take little tiny pumpkins and paint them. And I put them outside of my door, so that's how I do my jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah. Well, I just have fun memories. My favorite times was when my old friend Jesse, who I don't get to, he moved away when I was younger and everything, but we used to go over to his house and we'd all carve our pumpkins. It was me, Jesse, his sister, and my sister, and we'd all carve, because he had this big, porch, and we'd carve it on his porch. And, those are just some of the fun moments I remember from my youth, carving those pumpkins. Because it was always, I always found it fun to carve the pumpkins because that was the only time I got to use a knife.
Mm-hmm.
As my mother would tell you, they don't like to have me to have a knife in my hand.
Jeez.
I like to play ninja.
Oh.
Not anymore, but when I was young, I liked to
play
ninja.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't...
Lots of nicks on the hands from pumpkin carving.
Well, not even nicks on the hands. Nicks on, like, the chairs.
Oh.
And I don't mean, like, Naruto ninja. I mean, like, old school ninja.
Oh. Oh, jeez.
Like, burying a, the big knife in the armrest of a chair.
Oh, see, no. We did ours outside the driveway. We didn't.
No, I'm just saying why they didn't want me to have a knife in the first place. Not like during Halloween. I mean, now that I've embarrassed myself enough.
Halloween foods. Now, for Halloween, people go absolutely insane coming up with the most disgusting way to disguise regular food as Halloween food. There's bloody fingers. There's brains. There is, the cute one I saw was people take test tubes and put green goo in them to make it look like they're lab experiments. Rats, spiders. There's a cake that you can make that makes it look like a little graveyard with ghosts and worms coming out. Halloween food is the most fun because you get to really get sick and twisted.
Yeah. I mean, and basically what you're talking about is basically the equivalent of the gingerbread house, but, I mean, yeah, there's so many, I remember one year, I'm sure it'll still show it on Food Network, but I remember one year they did where, like, they got, like, all the big guests, and it was Mark Summers, Emerald.
Yes, I remember that, and that was when Sandra Lee was first coming out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Sandra Lee was on it, but I remember, like, Emerald was dressed as a vampire, and he was making...
Oh, I remember that one.
Roast turkey, and Mark Summers was doing a big gingerbread house.
I remember that. Do you remember the one that Paula Deen did, where she did some weird thing where it was biscuits and gravy, but it was all gray, looked like worms and bugs?
No, because I don't watch a lot of Paula Deen. I had nothing against her, but I just don't... I'm more of a... Emerald, but why can't I think of his name? Goody.
Bobby Flay?
Goody.
Who? Oh, Mark Summers, yes.
No, not Mark Summers,
Alton Brown?
Alton Brown, thank you.
Okay, yeah, my husband likes Alton Brown, too. Food Network and, also HGTV, and I would still watch them if I still had cable. They do a really good job with their holiday specials and Halloween especially. I mean, they can come up with some amazing stuff. Sandra Lee, who's known for her decor, has a few Halloween specials, and she just does the most amazing thing. There's this one that she did where she took dry ice and made it into a punch bowl. So it looked like it was all smoky and stuff. Halloween food is... awesome. A couple of easy recipes that you can do. My easiest one is go get some cupcakes or make cupcakes. I prefer to buy them because I don't want to bake. Take the cupcakes, bring them home, get some orange and black icing them up. Then you take candy corn and you can put the candy corn on them so it looks like spikes. Another one is to take cupcakes, usually chocolate, get some red icing. Some white icing and a little bit of black, and you can draw designs. You can make spiders on top of them, skulls. You can write RIP on them in red or in black. The other one that I really, really like to do is I like to make taco dip or three-layer bean dip. But when you get done making it normally, take your lettuce, add a little bit of food coloring, so it's sort of brownish black. Put that on there. Take some blue corn chips. Crush them up together. Take a couple of crackers. Stick them on top. Brush them with a little bit of food coloring so they're brown. Get a couple of marshmallows. You'll take the marshmallows off before you eat them. Make them look like ghosts. And then you get some red hot sauce. and put a little bit of cornstarch so it's thick like blood and just squirt it all over it. It looks gross and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. My Halloween dish that I thought about bringing, it's not so much even that it's a Halloween dish, it's that it's a dish I did, but because it's red, it goes great with sort of the scenery. It's I have a rice dish. I really don't even have a name for it, but it's like a rice dish.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is, if you go to your supermarket, you can usually find like rice packets for black beans and rice and red beans and like red rice.
Right.
Buy one of those. Usually you can like put them in the microwave. So if you're lucky enough to have two microwaves, like I do, you can like set them for the both times so they'll be done both at the same time. It's a chicken dish, so what I do is first I cut up the onions and then I put them in the pan to, you know, not shrivel up, but damn, what's the word?
Brown.
Well, not brown, but sweat.
That. Okay.
So you sweat your onions, then you take three boneless, skinless chicken breasts and you cut them up into cubes. But before you put them in the pan, what you do is you take salt, pepper, garlic powder, and paprika, and you pour over there and you mix it up so like the chicken is actually red from the paprika, and then you brown it in the pan and you cook it up, and then when it's done and the rice is done, you put the rice in there, both the black rice and the red rice, and you put it all in the pan together, and then what you do is you take salsa and you put it in, and that really helps towards making it red. I use a salsa that I find at Publix, which is a supermarket store down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of a hot salsa with black beans and fire roasted corn in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes towards black beans, and it just comes out looking very red.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very good, and it's very spicy as well. So,
That actually sounds kind of good. I think the best, as far as a Halloween dessert that I have ever seen, is a friend of mine made bones or bone fingers. And she made them out of cake. She cut them out in bone shape. She put fondant on them because she's a fancy girl. And then she made these like flesh colored fondant on top of that so the bone was like partially exposed. She then made yellow and green nails and attached them. She put them all on sticks. She made a two-layer cake that was rolled with brown fondant, put some crushed-up dark brown sugar and crumbled Oreos so it looks like dirt, and she stuck, like, 20 of these fingers on top of the cake, and she had put in at the bottom of the cake, in black fondant, Happy Halloween, and spooky writing. That thing was the most awesome thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That does sound awesome. I mean, and if it sounds like we've mostly been talking about candy and stuff, it's, for the most part, most of the food in Halloween is candy. Pumpkin pies, I guess we can say, is Halloween. It's just that I guess it gets more contributed with Thanksgiving. But candy corn, candy apples are very popular in Halloween until apparently idiots started putting razor blades in their candy apples, which... I still don't know how they're able to do that.
Or poison. Now, since we're talking candy, what's your favorite candy to get for Halloween? Mine's candy corn.
Oh, I love candy corn. That's like me sitting here having like 10 children and asking me which is my favorite child.
Oh, jeez.
But I of course, all the candy bar, you know, Snickers, Butterfingers, Reese's. Oh, God, I love Reese's. But, you know, also, like, the small novelty candy you get, you know, like candy corn, like all the cool gummies you get and all that stuff.
Did you know that, you know, the Dots candy that you can get? Because I like the gummy candy.
Yeah.
They have candy corn flavored Dots.
Okay.
You're like, oh, okay. They also, now, I haven't been to Target because my surgery a few weeks ago, I'm still on limited driving, but if I can get to Target before Halloween, they've got chocolate-covered candy corn.
Oh.
And I want a bag, like, so bad, you have no idea.
You're making my mouth water.
The little candy pumpkins and the little acorns I like. My favorite one, as far as candy bars, has to be the Clark bars.
Yes.
I like the Clark bars. And as far as candied apples are concerned, where I live, they like to think they're fancy. So we don't just get regular caramel bars. We get the caramel with the red hot cinnamon, or we get them covered with sprinkles.
Yeah.
So those kind of take away from, you know, the childhood thing. But candy apples, I'm good for one a year.
Yeah.
But you
want to move into music?
Yeah.
You know, and I was having difficulty thinking when I put this up, because obviously there's music, and a lot of it is more like symbiotic and instrument music. But there are some songs that are, I guess you could say, Halloween themed. I mean, I guess the easy one would be the Nightmare Before Christmas music.
I'm going to go a different route. Evanescence.
Ah, okay.
Evanescence is very, very good for adult listening on Halloween because Amy Lee's voice is haunting anyway.
Yeah.
And Amy Lee makes me think of being depressed, dying, sorrow. It's perfect for Halloween. Rob Zombie's Dracula song.
Oh, yes. That's an awesome.
Okay, anything by Rob Zombie, actually. The other thing is, and this is going to sound sort of me being hypocritical, the Twilight Saga's music CDs, those are very good, too, believe it or not.
And you can be very hypocritical in a couple minutes here.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and I like the classics, so like Ghost of John. Da, 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 da. Have you seen the Ghost of John? Da, da, da. Ooh. God, it's been so long since I sung that, I can't remember the words. But the Monster Mash is a classic.
Oh, I love the Monster Mash. The Peanuts, the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
That is a good soundtrack also. But then again, those are Christmas.
Yeah. But I think my favorite Halloween song is Michael Jackson's Thriller. That is so creepy to listen to on Halloween.
Creepy? The video was creepy. That's perfect. I mean, he did such a good job with that song, with the whole album, actually. And I'm old enough to actually have bought the album in the stores. I hate to admit it. But, no, Thriller is probably the best Halloween song besides Monster Mash.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. Now, as far as spooky music, you can go to the Halloween store and you can pick up soundtracks of ghosts, werewolves howling in the background. You can just put that on low in the background on Halloween and just play it.
It'll scare the hell out of you.
Yeah. A friend of mine did something a little different. They went around and they found various Halloween music and they made their own mixtape. And the mixtape was, you know, moans and groans and werewolves, doors clanging shut, windows, you know, slamming shut. And what they did is they mixed it with this really subtle, depressing type music, and they keep it on loop for like the entire month of October. So when you go over to their house, you get freaked out by the time you leave.
Well, with that being said, let's move on to movies and television. I'll let you go first.
All right, movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. I'm not so much big on Halloween movies. I'm going to name one that isn't really a Halloween movie, but I think you have to watch it on Halloween just because it's fun. I just watched it a few weeks ago, Teen Wolf. That's a perfect Halloween movie.
God, if you don't want damn it.
You had that, didn't you?
God. No, I didn't even have it, but I'm like, seen several people start talking about Teen Wolf. I'm like, what's the popularity for Teen Wolf all of a sudden?
Because if you're my age, you actually saw it in the theaters, and believe it or not, that movie actually rocked. It did. Seeing Michael J. Fox wolf out on the basketball court and just going for it still is the best thing ever. I'm just going to insert something here non-Halloween-ish. For anyone who loves Back to the Future, the last weekend of this month and this weekend, AMC Movie Theaters is going to have on Saturday and Monday for the next two weekends, screening of the original Back to the Future feature in their movie theaters. They're going to do it twice on Saturday and once on Mondays for the next 2 weeks.
Ah, nice. I'm going right now to check that out.
I already have my ticket for Saturday night. As far as TV is concerned, you have to, if you don't have it, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. For Halloween, you have to watch the three following shows at least one episode. Bewitched, The Munsters, and The Addams Family. Addams Family. No, but I think of the three of them, I think the most creepiest, of course, is The Addams Family. I mean, The Munsters were good, but they weren't as creepy as The Addams Family.
Oh, yeah. I love The Munsters. I love The Addams Family. The Addams Family was definitely creepy. And then Bewitched was always funny. Because every episode was the same. It's basically her mother being pissed off that she married a mortal and doing something to him. That poor child.
He got turned into just about everything, didn't he?
Yep.
If you want a modern one that's pretty good, you might have to help me with the title. Back in the 90s when they had the Action Pack series, I'm talking Hercules, Xena, all those shows, there was Poltergeist.
Ooh, I remember it. I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Poltergeist, they did a different spin on it where it was a detective agency seeking out poltergeist activity.
Well, the thing is, this was during a time where you had a lot, in the 90s, you had a lot of these TV series spinoffs of popular movie franchises. Like, there was one based off Friday the 13th. I believe there was one based off Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
I mean, these were low-budget, like, TV series. But I'm saving my favorite from the 90s for when I go, so.
Well, I'm basically done.
Well, you know, with that being said, I will start off with television series. Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How can we forget that?
Oh, I couldn't watch a lot of it. I'm a scaredy cat, but that was an excellent, excellent series.
Well, the thing is, I didn't have HBO at the time, so I was really jealous of anybody who could watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the thing is, when you grow up, you realize how funny and kooky those stories are. Like, if you, every now and then, Comedy Central will show Tales from the Crypt, Bordello of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
With, why can't I remember his name?
George Clooney?
No, it's not George Clooney. It's,
what is it?
Now I have to look this up.
I can't remember, but, well, speaking of that, the whole vampire, thing, there's a movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it, it is one of the freakiest movies, it's one of the few horror films I actually got through. Snoop Dogg did a movie a few years ago called Bones.
Oh, yeah.
That was creepy.
Dennis Miller is who I was thinking of.
Yes, yes, okay. It's a scary movie.
Both, you mean Tales from the Crypt or Bones?
Bordello of Blood.
Oh, Bordello of Blood.
I could not. I mean, I tried to watch Tales from the Crypt, and the Crypt Master is what got me. I could not.
The Crypt Master is my favorite part of the show.
That was a lot of people's favorite part of the show. Oh. That's just. What else you got?
Well, and again, like I said, usually when it comes to Halloween, you have all the specials that come on. So, you know, for, again, all the Travel Channel specials, like, if you have cable right now and you have Travel Channel, you know, Halloween's Most Extreme, where you get to learn about stuff. But also TV shows. The Eureka Castle Halloween special. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Eureka Castle?
Vaguely.
For those who don't know, Eureka's Castle was sort of a, it wasn't a ripoff of Muppets, but it was sort of that same type of, you know, Muppet technology, and it was on Nick Jr. back in the early 90s. You had, there was a dragon, I can't remember his name off the top of the head. There were But it was Eureka's castle. Eureka was this, you know, magician, and she ran this castle. And it was this great creep. And I remember it scaring the hell out of me. Another Nickelodeon scary show that I remember, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh.
Do you remember Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes! Yes, I do! That also triggered a memory. R.L. Stein.
Oh, yes. The R.L. Stein movies, yes.
I'm sorry. Those were not for children.
No, they weren't.
They were supposed to be for children, but they weren't.
Well, the books weren't even for children.
Oh, those scared me. But you know what? You brought up something.
Or as I like to call it, R.L. Stein, Stephen King for kids.
That was what I was about ready to say. Some of the Stephen King movies are scarier than others. But if you can get your hands on a good Stephen King movie, Pet Sematary, Christine, that's good Halloween watching.
I take it isn't.
I'm sorry?
It.
You know, I recently, well, meaning a year ago, sat down and rewatched it. It holds up. It really does hold up.
I would watch it just to see Tim Curry.
You know, I'm not afraid of clowns, but whoo! I think the scene, the first time we see the clown grab a kid, that always gets me.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And I'm like, I'm just going like to all right now for television series. Again, like I said, all of the Halloween specials that I see, the Rugrats Halloween special, all the cartoon Halloween specials that you get to see. Again, you know, I do the Spectacular Spider-Man series. It's episode 10, I believe, which is the finale with the Green Goblin in Spectacular Spider-Man season 1, falls on Halloween. And there's this cool interaction where Peter Parker just, you know, he's like, he's supposed to meet Gwen there, and he meets her, and there's like, and they're like back to back, and they don't know. And it's like, I'm Spider-Man. because he didn't have change to change. It's like, oh, I'm Spider-Man. Everybody bought it. And then there's this scene where you have Flash Thompson, who's been forced to get into cheerleading garb since he lost the bet with Peter about bringing a date to the dance. So he forces all the other high school players to get in cheerleader garb.
Oh, jeez.
And then you have Liz Allen, Gwen Stacy, and Mary Jane, who's dressed as a vampire, all gathering around Peter, saying how good he looks and like fawning over him. And just so the look on Flash Thompson's face in drag, in a cheerleader outfit, looking at is priceless. It's very funny to watch.
That's funny.
And it's a Green Goblin episode, so you get to hear Steve Bloom do the Green Goblin voice, which is
excellent.
Yeah, it's. I put it on par with Mark Hamill's Joker. That's how good I feel it is.
Oh no, I agree with you. You know what we're forgetting?
What?
Scooby Doo.
Scooby Dooby Doo, looking for you. We got some work to do now.
Scooby Doo. I know it was for kids, but whenever they did the haunted house or the Halloween episodes, those were scary.
Yeah. Well, you had the scary movies too. I mean, you had the Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost, which was a good movie. Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island was...
Yeah. I mean, the Mummy ones also, because I have a thing with mummies.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out one last TV one, because we got to kind of, you know, move a little bit, because I got to go in a few minutes. The one that is perfect for Halloween, if you are like me and you don't like mummies, watch the mummy movies, the new ones, not the old ones.
Yeah.
Well, the old ones I refuse to watch.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, I'm just going to go real quickly through my last few movies and videos. But on Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, just because of Vincent Price.
That's a good one.
But with that, I really am not a big horror fan, so for me, I really like the old horror movies. I like Dracula, Frankenstein, the werewolf and all that stuff, the classic Universal stuff, but the one movie I love to watch on Halloween is Abbasot and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Oh, good Lord. I forgot about that movie. I forgot about that movie. That's a good one. Oh, well, I'm going to throw one last one out for myself. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, the 94 one, yeah, that was very good.
I have the cane. You know, the one where he opened it up and had the stiletto at the top?
Yeah.
I have a replica of that.
Nice. Well, we're going to move on to our last point, since Lori's actually being pushed for time. and that's Lori's rant on Twilight.
All right. Okay. Let me just say that I love watching True Blood, but there are 3 points that I completely think is absolutely wrong. One, they have a manufactured drug product that is able to sustain them from drinking human blood. That's ridiculous. Two, the position of the vampire fangs is not conducive to drinking blood because they are in the front, like the first two incisors of their teeth. Okay? They look ridiculous. It looks like they've got fake fangs, which they do because they're actors, but it's just ridiculous. Third point is, I completely disagree with the fact that the vampires on True Blood are able to do certain things the older that they get, but at the same time, they can be taken down by the simplest things, which leads me into another little segue. I'm saving the best for last. Twilight. I think that the whole walking in sunlight and sparkling is crazy. It's stupid. The fact that they can be vegetarians is just wrong. If you're a vampire, you should crave human blood. But since we discussed our notes on this, I've discovered a new show, and I've discovered a much greater rant. You ready?
I'm ready.
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Really? Really? You can drink an herb and not have a vampire take your blood? Seriously? All right, here's the problem. The two brothers. First of all, if you watch the show, you got to watch every single show or you have no clue what's going on. The two brothers were made vampires during the Civil War era. The day after they were brought over, their girl had these rings made, and they wear a ring on their finger, which allows them to walk in daylight. Second, in order to keep the thirst from really ravaging, they have to drink alcohol to suppress the need to taint blood. Hello, alkies. Third point, they have to drink coffee to raise their blood temperature so they appear normal. Fourth point, they have to eat. I'm sitting watching this episode of Vampire Diaries. It's mid-afternoon. He's got his shirt off, and he's eating popcorn. Popcorn. Vampire. Fifth point, they have this herb called vervain. If you take vervain, then vampires cannot compel you. If they drink your blood with vervain, they basically become incapacitated, which is fine. The fact that they have tried to build up a tolerance, except for one vampire who has, is pretty hysterical. So you are able to walk in the sun, you can drink alcohol, you can drink coffee, you can eat food, you can basically live as a human being. I call shenanigans, that's not a vampire.
Thank you.
I absolutely love the storyline of Vampire Diaries because it's very interesting. But as far as them being real vampires, try again. That's my rant. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Is it not the most ridiculous representation of what a vampire should be?
Well, you know what? When it comes to Twilight, True Blood, and Vampire Diaries, and I know you can say there is sexualization in there, but the point is, you know, it what they are the complete opposite of the two type of vampire movies that came out in the 90s and early 2000s. Those being, one, the very over-sexualized, dramatized vampire that was a lot on sexuality, as in the females being very sexy, you know, the Elviras, and that type of stuff. The other one is the badass in the sense of Blade.
You're missing one. Interview with the Vampire, the Anne Rice vampire.
Yeah, but that goes into the sexualization.
Well, yeah, I can give you that one. You're right, because Blade, I'll give you that, the Elvira thing. But see, the Elvira thing was cute.
Yeah.
Because Elvira did it in such a way where you liked her and you got what she was doing.
And her movie, and by the way, her movie Maccabees are apparently now back on.
I actually watched one the other day.
Oh, nice.
She did, if you want something fun to watch, it's only 42 seconds long. Christine O'Donnell, everyone's favorite person.
Yes.
Elvira did a fake parody PSA claiming she's not a witch. And she did it just like Christine O'Donnell did in her PSA.
I have it on, did you see I posted it on Facebook?
No, I posted it too.
I posted it on Facebook too, so. I now have it in my favorites on YouTube.
I saw that and started cracking. And she still looks good too.
I'd bang her.
She's 60.
She is sexy as hell, and I'd do her in a heartbeat.
She still looks really, really good.
Which, by the way, that's the other favorite movie I want to watch that I like to watch on Halloween, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh yeah, and her whole stick started out as sort of a comedy horror thing. But if you really want to give homage to someone who's really kept alive horror films, especially in the 80s, Elvira is it.
Yeah.
As far as your idea of Blade, I have to give it to you, but I also have to disagree with one tiny point. I think that coming from a comic background, Blade never really was successful and still isn't as a comic book character. He appeared first in the Tomb of Dracula series, and they basically redid his whole identity for the movies. The movies were much more successful because A, you had Wesley Snipes. B, they actually had a decent script. And C, they had Wesley Snipes. I disagree with him on one thing. He's half human, half vampire. He's a daywalker. Okay, fine. What I did not appreciate is that when they did the TV series,
yeah,
they messed it up so badly that whatever lead-in we had from the three movies, had no interest in watching it.
Yeah.
And I still say that the best Blade villain was Ron Perlman.
No.
I love Ron Perlman anyway, but I just thought that one in particular was awesome. Especially when he puts that thing in the back of his head. But, yeah, you're right. It comes in the two different camps. And, of course, the third camp now is the wimpy, I'm not going to drink your blood because I don't want to be evil.
It's the Yowie fangirl version of...
Yes. Yeah, exactly, which is the whole Twilight... Vampire Diaries. You can even say that a little bit for True Blood, because let's face it, Vampire Bill is a wuss. The fact that they call him Vampire Bill is just wrong.
See, when I think of Dracula, I think of like things like Castlevania. Right. I think Blade. I think so many other. I think Lugosi. Because first names for me, so I think for the most part that's it. Because Lori probably has to go.
Yeah. But we've recorded for a good long while, so let me go ahead and plug your stuff, and I'll plug mine.
Well, I'll let you go first, and that way, if you have to go, you can go.
Okay. Well, you guys can find me on a Comic Book Roadshow, The Fixer's Hideout, No Apologies. And I started up a new podcast. It's called Realms of Gold. It is a sci-fi fantasy book review podcast. You can find me at my email, which is comicbookroadshow@gmail.com. And if you guys don't mind, check it out. Leave me an iTunes review. I think I have like one. And basically, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, my call sign is Tomorrow. I'm on there most days. And if you like the show, if you like tarot, if you like Hexcast, let us know.
Yeah. Of course, I have my servers at the Spectacular Web Podcast, which you can find at www.spectacularwebs.podomatic.com. We're up to episode 14 out. You can also find that on the Spider-Man Crawlspace, which you can find at www.spidermancrawlspace.com. I have the Tokyo SOS Podcast, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. Tokyo SOS is a Godzilla podcast. I have Capes and Feathers, which you can find at www.burningtalkingpoints.com. Whenever that gets back up, I have the Enemy Asylum podcast. I I just did a guest spot on the Otaku Momentum podcast last night. That comes out every now and then. Whenever that comes out, that comes out. And for the most part, that's everything except for I do a video podcast about that's usually like 15 minutes long. That release usually every Monday on the Anime Shaft podcasting site called Thomas's Prerogative. So check that out. Go check our friends out. Again, like I said, The Crawl Space, check it out, Brad Douglas. Views from the Long Box, Michael Bailey. You know, also Crisis the Crisis, Tales from the JSA, Back to the Bins. The Anime Shaft Podcast, The Major Spoilers Podcast, The 2-in-1 Showcase, ThatGuyWithTheGlasses.com, KaijuCast, 2-2 Freaks, Comic Book Roadshow, as stated, DJ Comics Cavalcade, you know, check all our friends out. You can find our show, again, first of all, on our Podomatic page at www.hexcastpodcast.podomatic.com. You can also leave us emails at www.hexcastpodcast@yahoo.com. And you can find us on iTunes by searching out Hexcast. We're not the Harry Potter one, we're the Jim Balint Tarot, which is the Black Rose one. We should have a symbol of Tarot's Black Rose on there and leave us reviews there. So that's it for the show. Lori, did you have a good time?
I had a great time, and I just want to tell everybody happy Halloween and be safe.
Yeah, and I will, you know, have a happy, 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 happy Halloween. Ha 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 ha!